Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On second down, picked off, Lloyd again, Devin Lloyd, what a year, still rolling, down the sideline, one man to beat, Lloyd, pick six.
Last night, of course, the 99-yard pick six return for Devin Lloyd, the biggest swing in the game if you look at win probability from last night. A lot of different things we're going to get into with Nate Taylor from ESPN. He is fresh off a morning flight in Jacksonville.
Welcome back.
How was Jacksonville other than the game?
Yeah, it was great. I thought it was going to be a torrential downpour, really worried about if it was going to be a game in the slop and the muck. But thankfully, there wasn't really any clouds. We got a full moon last night. It was very breezy, very comfortable. You know, there was a lot of Chiefs fans, in particular on my flight to Jacksonville yesterday morning, and then obviously coming back, earlier today. Very good atmosphere. It was jumping. As I think I said on Twitter, like the place was jumping. You know what it means something on prime time Monday night when your team, like if you're the Jags, like your team is kind of, you know, doing something like, hey, they might start to actually deserve our attention, our support. So it was a very compelling sort of moment in time for both teams. And then thankfully, I got a decent amount of sleep. I have not rewatched every part of the game, but I rewatched certain moments of the game. And now I'm back. And so, by the way, local shout out, my mood has increased exponentially.
Okay.
Because I just got a burrito from Tiki Taco.
And you feel new man.
And
that's
I feel like needed. A new man. I got, I got a little Parisi coffee. I got a KC burrito from Tiki Taco. Somebody clip this and send it to Mike. I love Tiki Taco, man. They're the best. Very nice people. And now I'm ready to talk about why Chris Jones did what he did.
Yeah, can we start there? And then we can get back to the offense. And the obviously, Mahomes said it, and we can get into the breakdown.
I have a theory, ladies and gentlemen.
He
took
fooled.
A playoff.
Let's get to this because it's twice this year where Chris Jones has made a decision that is, I'm not saying the only reason why they lost the games, but certainly it helped seal it for the Chargers in week one by him not keeping contained. And then what you're referencing from last night where Trevor Lawrence falls on his ass a couple times and Chris Jones is on tape for everybody to see just standing there. What happened?
So I am going to give a legitimate theory that I think people need to consider.
Okay.
To help explain what you saw last night, guys, because there are certain things that I can see from the press box, the live All 22, that they're just not going to show on television because that's not the way the production works.
Sure.
You can't, it'd be nice if every game was like Prime Vision where you could see the majority of the field throughout the pre-snap, post-snap, and obviously the play, of course. So, couple things. This man is, I think, exhausted psychologically. Part of that is because, and I know some people have started to say it on Twitter, he just went through a week that is uncommon of anybody else in that locker room, where he chose, because his aunt that helped raise him in Houston, Mississippi, died of a heart attack during the New York Giants game while he's playing in it. Learns about it that night on the flight back to Kansas City, makes the decision with approval from Andy Reid and the rest of the staff to go back home to honor his aunt, to be with his family as long as he can be on Saturday and Sunday, flies back just in time to put the uniform on. And that is no bull bleep, kids. He came in, did not stretch, drank a bunch of water, and had one of the more, that's probably the best game he's played all year against the Ravens, where he's just an absolute wrecking machine. He talked to us, I believe, on, what was it, Friday, because it was a Thursday, it was their technical Thursday, but he talked to us on Friday about just what it all meant to him for him to go through that. And when I know that, and I'm assuming Steve Spagnuolo and the coaching staff knows everything he just did in a two-week period, you cannot, under any circumstance, have that guy be your leading snap player for your defensive line. It cannot happen. He played, if people are wondering, Chris Jones played 48 snaps of the 58 snaps in last night's game. That is unsustainable for a defensive tackle, let alone a guy who's 30. He's the oldest guy. He's the most impactful guy, but he cannot play 48 snaps. So, guys, there's a play on the last drive where he creates immediate pressure. He flushes Trevor Lawrence to his left out of the pocket. And, I mean, we're talking inches between him making a shoestring tackle sack. Instead, Trevor Lawrence escapes. The drive continues. But that's the moment where he's cooked, guys. And they're not going to show you that on TV. He's cooked. He just gave you his best effort to create not necessarily a negative play, but not an impactful one. But it still keeps the Jaguars from having a chance to throw that deep ball to Brian Thomas Jr. But he has to stay on the field. Like, the coaching staff looks at him and says, nah, you got to go. You got to get back. You got to get back to the line of scrimmage. Guys, he's literally gassed. He's psychologically cooked at this point. And I know he won't say it publicly. And I know he said everything right to a certain degree at the podium yesterday. But one of the things I asked him, and I thought which was most revealing, is he's talking about the issue that he had in week one, rush lane integrity, rush lane discipline. You know who that's a criticism of? Everybody, not him. That's Charles Omenihue. That's George Karloftis. That's Mike Dana. That's Jerry Tillery. He is, as best he can as a leader, criticizing everyone else for, I'm taking up double teams. I'm actively winning double teams. I'm cooked. We don't have Omar Norman Locke because he's not playing tonight. And I think what we now realize is they really need Omar Norman Locke to be a real legitimate player to give Chris Jones a blow because there's nobody else available. He played 48 snaps and he's taking up a double team and he thinks, I've done my job. And then he goes,
where's he?
What? But he's down. So my interpretation, and I kind of asked him in the locker room, this is before the podium, you stand there because if he gets up, you might think he's going to throw either the ball away or you want to have your body in your position to be hands up for a pass deflection if he's going to throw the ball in the middle of the end zone. Now, there's no spy, which I know you guys have talked about. And
I don't know why they didn't adjust to that in the second half. But.
Well, I think that's a slight bit of disrespect to Trevor Lawrence from the coaching staff because they don't see him as the ideal threat of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, yada, yada, yada. Charles Omenihue gets planted. Drew Tranquil takes a terrible angle. Jerry Tillery sees what's happening but is so slow to react that he can't get Trevor Lawrence down. And now everybody focuses on Chris Jones because he goes, I have literally taken up two offensive linemen yet again. Those two guys aren't doing anything. There are one-on-ones all over the place. And why is he running? Because I'm cooked. I'm gassed. They could not give me a sub in the last drive. And again, it's not George Karloftis, who you just paid a handsome contract to. It's not Charles Omenihue. It's not Jerry Tillery. It's not Ashton Gelati. It's not Mike Dana. It's not Derek Nnadi. Chris Jones played the most snaps of anybody on the defensive end, on the defensive line.
I hear you, and I think you bring up some great points.
This is the theory that I can give you.
This is the only last play.
Yeah,
I hear you, and this is not me like saying you're wrong. I would say there's probably a lot of people listening that are saying everything you said. Okay, I can buy into, but ultimately, people are going to say, well, that's why he's getting paid where he's getting paid. Of course, he's going to be on the field the most and all this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? They're going to say, well, nobody's disagreeing that the last week and a half has been, I'm sure, just horrendous for him.
Right. He should give maximum effort. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm telling you why, as a human being, we all just say, I don't.
Yeah.
How much more do I have to give? And the answer is more. Because the coaching staff put him out there to dry. I saw it, guys. I saw it from the press box. He's looking, saying, I'm walking back to the line of scrimmage. I just flushed him out of the pocket. Just give me one. Nope. You got to be out there because you're the only guy who dictates the offensive line in terms of double teams. And if we blitz or if we get one-on-ones, hopefully somebody will get home. No one got home. And, of course, because I think it was – I think in a weird way, kind of like the Andrew Luck fumble – oh my God, is he scoring? The same kind of thing short circuits everyone's brains on the defense where it's like, oh my, but he can get up? He can get up and keep moving? Oh man, he just scored.
Yeah, they just have too many of their star players right now playing crucial roles, unfortunately, in some of the biggest negative moments of the season, as much as they are positive at times, right? Patrick Mahomes is incredible. He's the reason why they've got two wins. He also had a devastating pick six. Chris Jones is still their second best defensive player, I would say, at this point, if we're going to say that he's 30 and it's a problem now. Mm-hmm. I would say second best defensive player, if that's the case. And he's come up with some moments, but he's also been part of two of the bigger moments that have sealed victories for opponents this year. Harrison Butker, one of their big leaders, reason why they've gone to Super Bowls, all this. This year, Kelsey's. He's been involved on a regular basis in plays that have hurt the team. Travis Kelce drops a ball, leads to an interception. Too many of their best star, highest paid, reason why the dynasty exists players have also made some of the biggest blunders of the season.
It's so fascinating how we all know the margins are slim, if you're really thinking about it, but your best players are still better than their best players.
Oh, they were still the more talented
team.
Of
course. So what this
is annoyingly enough.
What this is revealing is a lack of concentration, a lack of focus, and a lack of discipline. I would give more criticism to Chris Jones about what happened in Sao Paulo than what happened last night for all the reasons I just gave. And that's a different situation because it's 3rd and 14 and your coverage has actually held up. The only reason he has an option is because you lost rush lane integrity, right? So he makes the proper thing about not losing rush lane integrity last night, but the rest of his teammates do on numerous occasions to allow Trevor Lawrence for his best plays to be when he doesn't throw the football. His best plays last night were when he scrambled.
Mm-hmm. When you look at, like, this is what's so weird about this team is, like, we understand they're losing more in one score games and all this other stuff that has been uncommon to them. I asked Gold the same question earlier, so I'll ask you, which is, is it just luck is not on your side this time? You've made some mistakes and you will fix these problems as time goes on because you're a good football team? Or does this team not possess something that the other teams possessed? An ability to not let those mistakes derail wins regularly? Because that's what I'm trying to figure out is. Because offensively, we both agree. Offensively, I came out of that game feeling like, damn, that team can score, and they don't even have Rice back yet.
Right.
But, like, there does seem to be, like, a missing element to what they're doing in some way.
So, we have a 5-game sample. So, let's take the 5-game sample for what it is. Those are legitimate games, regardless of the circumstances.
It's almost a 30-year season, yeah.
Correct. And this is obviously without Rashee Rice. You will get your last sample size of that Sunday against the Detroit Lions. What we have learned, ladies and gentlemen, is this team is incredibly talented, but they are making undisciplined mistakes that you are unaccustomed to seeing. And if there's another team on the field that is functional, professional, living, breathing.
14-4, whatever the record of the teams they've lost to, Nate.
Oh.
Yeah. If the other team is professional, 11-4, that's what it was. Functional, a living, breathing organism, they've been the team that has made the plays that you're so used to making in the fourth quarter. We don't have to say much about Philly. They're the champs. Justin Herbert played out of his mind in week one. Out of his mind. And because you didn't have Justin Reed, because it's a very new secondary, you still had a lot of miscommunication for that type of game, for the performance to be that bad on a defensive side. On a defensive standpoint, we all know what happens with Xavier Worthy.
Yep.
Totally discombobulates the offense for at least a half. Last night is something that I think will be valuable if you're trying to have a cool head, if you're trying to be reasonable about this five-game sample size. They are not a team that is willing to dominate people the way that they are used to, which means their level of focus, execution, and discipline has to be longer sustained. Why do you have 13 penalties? It's because you're poorly coached, or you lack focus and concentration, or a combination of the two. I would argue the latter. The other thing is, because your talent is still very good, but it's not what it has been, because Chris Jones is 30. Travis Kelce is 36. Even Patrick Mahomes is 30. You need everybody else to be on one accord. And it has been so fascinating to see a team in real time over 60 minutes not only find belief, but actually play together in a way that is truly awe-striking. That's why I think a lot of fans in Jacksonville last night were honestly stunned that the Jaguars won that game, because they grew up in front of you in a 60-minute span. Didn't play their best, but were opportunistic, which is what they've been all season long. And if you give them a chance, they're living and breathing and functional and professional enough to go win the game. And that's what we've learned. The Giants are not living. They are dead. Oh, okay? Yeah. They weren't professional for 60 minutes. The Ravens are broken, cooked, done for. Scratch them off. Okay? Now, you're going to play another team in Detroit who's not that. Detroit is not the Giants, and it's not the Ravens. So guess what? This will be your fourth time in a six-game sample where you're playing someone who's actually professional, who's actually disciplined, who has just as good enough or just as much talent as you, and they're living and they're breathing. So let's see you make adjustments, make better decisions from a coaching standpoint, and hey, if you cut down the penalties, if you stop shooting yourselves in the foot, you are going to be in the game in the fourth quarter with a chance to make the game-winning plays, and let's see you do it.
We're talking to Nate Taylor from ESPN. He's hanging out with us after a Chiefs loss in Jacksonville. All right, let's go to the offensive side of the ball. We can go to special teams here, maybe on the other side as well. There's plenty to discuss there. A terrible night from the special teams unit. Patrick Mahomes said it after the game as well. That was a play on the pick six where the Jags had not done what they did on that particular play with their linebackers all year. So they got him, right? They just simply fooled Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. It's the one time where, and this is where he's gotten to the Peyton Manning of it all, where Peyton Manning would go, "Hey, I know you're doing this. You know you're doing this. Don't you dare change up on me, okay? Because I watch film. I've been in the lab.
You got zero times doing the other thing.
Yeah, I've been in the lab grinding. Why is he popping out? You can just see it in his mic go,
Honestly, if he throws the ball immediately, he might still get away with it.
Yeah, some people,
if he throws it the second he steps back, right, he might actually get
but
away with it.
But he's trying to encourage the blitz.
He wants him to come in.
He wants him to come, and then all of a sudden.
He's there no matter what.
Yes, or that, because hey, they've been playing cover zero tonight. They've been playing cover zero for much of this season. He even, you know, I asked him the question. He told me, like, they had not shown the poppers of the linebackers popping back out. So, look, they got him. It's a great curveball when you're anticipating something else. It's the only, ladies and gentlemen, I want to be very clear. It's the only mistake your all-world quarterback made yesterday. That's how good he's been. He's made one mistake in, checks notes, five games. And you can say, well, maybe he's made two because of the throw behind him with Pacheco, I don't know, somewhere on Pluto. But you know what? He immediately rectified it in real time.
I thought last night he rectified it. He went down and got a touchdown immediately, yep. Got the ball back with 8 minutes to go,
and scored again.
6.5 minutes and scored again.
I mean, he's so good because
he's on his game this year. There's no doubt.
Most quarterbacks, let's say half the quarterbacks in the league would have said, man, we were about to go up by 7. Now we're down 7. It's loud. Okay. Half the quarterbacks in the league would have been, okay, I want to get it all back immediately. Or they would have all been a little bit hesitant on terms of being aggressive because all of a sudden I've made the biggest mistake. They would have essentially been a lesser version of themselves. He comes back and says, okay, I don't need it all now. We got 13 minutes on the clock. If I get the ball back, boys, don't worry about me, okay? Trent McDuffie gives him the interception, and he says, great. From here on out, get on my back again, boys. Goes down, scores a touchdown. And I knew the moment that the Jaguars kicked that field goal, I said, well, that's window dressing if you want to do that. Because guess what, kids? You're now giving this man 4 downs with 8 minutes left. And this is instructive to the coaching staff. He's seen it all. He's at the Peyton Manning education level of this where it's like, okay, I made a mistake. I'm clapping, going to the sideline because I've already figured out what I want to do next. And they're not going to get me on the next one. And I'm going to go right down the field and we're going to score a touchdown. And if I get another chance, we're going right down the field and scoring a touchdown.
I think their offense is very prime for top three in the league when Rice comes back.
If everybody stays healthy, man, that's the key.
I know. And every time Worthy goes down and holds his ankle for a second, I'm like, no. I get a little bit scared. But like part of it is because what Alex and I were talking about earlier in the show, which is the Mahomes-Thornton thing is a part of their offense.
Yes.
It's not all of their offense. They got a lot of other working pieces, but that's a part of it, and it's here to stay. We had no one to throw to. We'll throw to Tyquan Thornton. I've seen that in an offense before. It's like a functional piece of what they do, Nate.
Yeah.
I think Mahomes has been, this is as close as he's looking like Mahomes in years.
Yeah, this is
He looks like him again.
This is a higher version of the 2022 version of him, which again, guys, he won the MVP that year, and that was the first year he had without Tyreek Hill, and he had something to prove not only to himself, but to everyone else within and around the league. The last thing I'll say about Mahomes is, again, Peyton Manning would do this. He would throw a, oh no, pick, and then go, not my problem. You know what my problem is? Getting the hell out of Dodge. Saving my butt for the next down and distance. And he acknowledged last night because of the and I wonder if this is part of because of the reaction with the Rashee Rice injury last year. A younger version of him, 2018, 2019, would have trucked Devin Lloyd. But because he's at the Peyton Manning stage of his career,
I didn't want him to.
I got to stay healthy.
Unless it's the Super Bowl or the playoffs.
I got to get out of the way.
I don't want him tackling.
And I don't want to hurt nobody, let alone I don't want to hurt me. And give me the next ball. So he acknowledged that like he should probably do a little bit more, maybe touch him, play a little two-hand touch, slow him down. You know. But I understand that. You know, that's where he is, where you could say, well, maybe he could have done more after the interception. Because, again, he's not going to be the first. He's not the first quarterback where, hey, the defense makes a nice adjustment. They see your adjustment. They make a great play. Devin Lloyd's been amazing.
He's had a tremendous year.
Had a great year. So, hey, you know, golf clap to him. But you got to find a way to, like, slow him down just a little bit. The game is a contact sport. We've seen Patrick not be afraid to sort of run with the
last time he did
more.
That, he got a guy hurt. Yeah. So, like, there is a part of it. It's like, I would almost rather, if you told me no risk of him being injured and Devin Lloyd scores, or there's a small risk of him being injured and Devin Lloyd doesn't, forget it. Lloyd can score.
Go
take 99, my guy. It's game five.
Correct.
Like Gold said, if it's the playoffs, it's the Super Bowl.
It's different.
Game five, I'll take the chance.
Nate Taylor from ESPN hanging out with us. Plenty more to get into. We'll talk special teams. We'll look ahead a little bit to the Detroit Lions right here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on Cody Ingold. We continue here at 1 o'clock hour talking some football after a Chiefs 31-28 loss to Jacksonville. A man that was in Jacksonville yesterday, Nate Taylor from
today?
ESPN. Yeah, this morning, as recently as this morning. He continues to talk a little Chiefs football with us. We mentioned the offense, defense. I want to look into the future a little bit, but first, special teams, certainly a huge part of the equation yesterday. Let's begin with Harrison Butker. And as I said earlier, by no means am I saying he's why they lost the game. Nobody's erasing the history of Harrison Butker and what he's done for the franchise. Mm-hmm. But it is 2025, and in each game he has had issues to be nice. And this was another one. Yeah. because if I say anything about him, people get very defensive. Nate, very strange to me. But everybody else we can criticize, but not him for some reason. I don't get it.
I mean, we know why.
But he kicked the ball out of bounds. And the excuse making is laughable to me. They're like, well, the new kickoff rules, the 40 versus the 30. Oh, now we're acting like 5 yards doesn't matter. We're also acting like you can't kick the ball deep. Yes. What are you seeing from him? I'm not saying they're going to cut him. I understand that. They're not at all. But can any of this get corrected? Because it's extra points, it's field goals, and now it's kickoffs. And he's a kicker last time I checked. So that's a problem.
Correct. I was making, I had my peers in a tickle last night because I was on Harrison Butker watch from that moment the game started.
Just like, hey, try to go. This is like Juwan Taylor from you, by the way.
Yes,
before you say
that's where I was.
Hey, man, can you make it 60 minutes without screwing something up?
Correct.
That's all I'm asking.
That's, hey.
Clean football game.
Hey, they scored a touchdown. All right, boys, we're on Harrison Butker watch. Let's see it. Let's see the operation. Because, again,
till the end, it was fine.
I went into the game thinking, man, if there's a lot of rain because of South Florida, because it's October, kind of hurricane season, okay, like, tricky. But, hey, conditions are ideal, optimal, you could even argue. He does what he's supposed to do until the absolute moment. Because I thought, hey, Patrick let him down for a touchdown, less than 2 minutes left. Hey, guys, the all-important PAT here going from a three-point lead to a four-point. Hey! Nice up and down, boys.
In retrospect,
nice up and down.
Had I could reverse it, I'd prefer he missed
right.
the extra point
yeah.
and made a good kick.
Correct.
Because then maybe they don't try to get in the end zone.
Yeah, they're not in an absolute dire situation to get in the end zone. So it's hard to know, because I didn't talk to Harrison Butker last night. It's hard to know if that was coach decision to try to pin him in the corner, which is always a little bit tricky. Because this is a ball that's not round. You have idea how it's going to bounce. Or if it's a situation where if we pin him, maybe the returner has to work harder to get to the 30 or the 35. Now, the Jaguars were starting to pop a couple in terms of their kickoff return game. Ultimately, just kick the ball in the middle of the end zone. There are 10 guys there who are ordered and tasked to tackle the ball carrier. You know, we saw in the Arizona-Seattle game a couple Thursday nights that he kicked it in the middle of the field, but it landed at the 22-yard line.
So it moved to the 40 as well,
which is not the landing zone. So it would have been better if he had just kicked it at the 18, you know.
And risked it.
Yeah. And you know what?
Yeah.
There are 10 guys there who are ordered and tasked to make the tackle. We even saw him put his head down late in the game and actually be a part of the tackle.
Yeah, he made a tackle.
To prevent a, you know, potential touchdown.
And that one went to the 40.
Correct.
It wasn't worse. It was the same.
Right. And you would have taken time off the clock. Think about that, too.
I know.
So, again, undisciplined.
What do they do, though?
Uncharacteristically undisciplined.
But Butker's a problem. It's not just that, like, he's making mistakes. He currently ranks 24th in the NFL in field goal percentage, 34th in extra point percentage.
Yikes.
And now he's kicking the ball. And that's, by the way, this is not like a five-game problem that just started. He was a below-league average kicker for all of last year. If I take a four-year average, he ranks below 15th in both of those categories over the last 4 years combined. And that's giving him the single best year maybe of his career during that time. So, like,
Who do you want?
Off the street, playoff Spencer Strader.
Who do you want?
I know, that's the thing.
Who do you want when the season's on the line and it's cold outside?
But for the first time ever, I'm nervous about it. And partially because everyone in the NFL can make 59-yarders now.
Hey, I'm nervous. Look, there's reason to be nervous about how long this team can hang on. I mean, the top of this team. I mean, the core nine, as I like to call them.
I can't believe it lasted this long when you think about it.
They've bucked the trend already by going to three straight Super Bowls.
Do you think they – I brought this up to Cody earlier. To your point, kind of what you're saying, do you think while the roster has turned over quite a bit over the whole run, of course, there's only a few handful of players left, do they look like a team that's mentally and physically fatigued at times to you? 20-game seasons, essentially, for the last couple. I feel like there's moments where you were talking about just one example of Chris Jones being gassed. That's different. I'm talking like they look mentally and physically worn out at times.
And it's of their own doing. Let's go through the examples in my mind, kids, because I have a photographic memory. Obviously, I gave you the example last night with Chris Jones. When it comes to Travis Kelce, he's ran that route a million times. He knows the coverage. He knows the ball's coming out. He's a tick late. Turn his head around. Hey, man, it's the red zone. You got to be quick. Your quarterback knows you're the primary read. Get your head around, right? When it comes to Harrison Butker, this man, your quarterback, said, bleep everyone. I'm trucking anybody in a blue powder jersey to carry us into the end zone for our first touchdown of the season. It's 12-13. All you got to do is make a PA attempt that is simpler, that is normal standard procedures than what you just did, which was honestly heroic to end the first half. Not close. It's a mental lapse. Not close. Technically off. Foot placement. Or where the ball hits his foot off. Just off. It just fades. Isaiah Pacheco. We're starting to see him get the desire. That was his best game he had played all season.
By far.
Hey, man. You're helping out your left tackle. You know the play. Help the left tackle out. Hey, they got a really good pass rush. Hey, why are you late on the chip? Now, you've been bumped to oblivion and you don't know where you are. And now you run in the opposite direction on your chip release route. What are you doing? What are you doing?
At the end of this last game, when Hollywood got hit in the shoulder pad.
But that's because he's never been in that situation before with Patrick Mahomes.
He doesn't know that, just like, be ready for the ball.
That's the first time he's ever been in a gotta have it drive in his career with Patrick Mahomes in 2 years.
Head on a swivel in those spots, I'll say.
Buddy. Ball coming out real fast, okay? Now, you could say, look, he was on the field for the last drive of the AFC Championship game, and I understand that, but they had the lead. It was a more traditional four-minute offense.
Yeah.
Keep the ball away versus got to have it, trying to come from behind, less than a minute left. We got to be precise in our execution and our precision. You know, there's a number of examples of guys making mental lapses or lack of concentration that could lead to fatigue, psychological, there's something to be there. You'll get a better example. You'll get a better feel for it, I should say, with a 17-game sample. Because guess what? Kids are playing 17 games this year.
Oh, yeah. They're playing the last one.
Yeah,
the game in Vegas is going to matter one way or the other.
Yep. So think about that. They've made their lives harder on themselves. And there's something to be made about the fact that with Travis Kelce at this stage still being, like, really productive compared to his peers, hey, man, can you go win us a route against Travis Hunter? Can you go win us a route?
And Hunter, like, still had to interfere with him a little bit.
But they still have to have him rise to these moments where it's like nobody else in the league is asking a 36-year-old to do this consistently, you know? And that's the life they're in. No one's asking 30-year-old, I want to be very clear, ladies and gentlemen, nobody in the NFL other than the Chiefs is asking their 30-year-old future Hall of Famer defensive tackle to be on the field 84% of the defensive plays. No one's asking that of anybody else. So they are expediting their own demise if that's kind of your thought, Alex, of like, these seasons are so long, they're so physical.
He also doesn't want to be off the field. That's
but he asked at the end of the, he asked on the final drive, please take me
now, the clock, going back to that, the clock was obviously a huge part of the equation there at the end. Because immediately when you brought up the yes. theory to begin the hour about, hey, he was so gassed, he wanted out, they wouldn't let him out. Someone immediately texted in, well, then burn one of your three timeouts. But I think, considering the way the clock was going at that point
then,
in time.
Then criticize the coaches because he's your best offender, right? When he's right, he your best. Then criticize the coaches. Like, no one's at fault here, really, outside of, like, a couple of guys who are genuinely getting better, like Kingsley Sulabhata-Ia, genuinely getting better. Josh Simmons, who apparently was dealing with the flu of some kind.
He played great. The O-line is trending in an awesome direction for the rest of the season, frankly, for years to come with Josh Simmons. But
Kareem Hunt had his best game of the season last night.
There's in a game in which everybody's frustrated, understandably so, the offense should give you plenty of hope moving forward. You mentioned, you know, coaching. Cody and I were discussing Noel Williams. Was this a game plan where
Drew, get the bleeps ready, but holy smokes.
Four snaps for Noel Williams.
I speculated I thought maybe it's a place where, hey, our packages don't have Noel Williams on the field because this is how we think we can take advantage of the Jags. That was the only thing I can figure out for why.
Then that's a disrespect of the Jags that burned you.
Like, what do you think? Like, what do you think it was? Why is Noel Williams not on the field? Four snaps, crazy.
Four snaps.
He's played really well.
Crazy. Chris Rowland Wallace only got 11, and he's played pretty well too.
Yeah,
so
yes.
they have less dime package looks.
Okay, and Noel Williams is their dime corner. Is that what you're
yes.
saying?
Yes.
I think that's what it is. I think it's just a respect of they only trust one wide receiver, and they thought they could play less.
And Liam Cohen. I think found something in the second half that says, let me keep them in base as much as possible. And if it's not there, go run because they're not going to spy you. Not traditionally, right? I know Leo Chanel tried to do his best.
He was good on the edge.
For Steve Spagnuolo.
He stopped him there.
Yeah. Leo Chanel was like, well, there was times where like he was kind of my responsibility, but it's not like what we saw against Lamar Jackson where it's like you line up and wherever he goes, you go and you at least dissuade him from scrambling. When it comes to Noel Williams, where are we on the calendar, boys? Come on. Come on.
October?
Come on. Come on. And early October.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on down. Come on down to the Steve Spagnuolo School of Hard Knocks, which is you could be an all-world player. Guys, I think people need to forget, L'Jarius Sneed was amazing on arrival. With no preseason games in the 2020 season. And he wouldn't start that man till November. Again, and that defense was.
He's got Shamari Connor in here playing 99.
That defense was not great at the start of the season.
Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding long term and what Spags has done, obviously.
Correct.
And it'll and I think they'll get it worked
out.
But when you're off to a 2-3 start though,
now,
I don't think you kind of have to adjust.
Criticize. Yes.
Well, not only criticize as you should, but I mean the philosophy, which is no, we're gonna get him in there, but it's gonna be November.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 2-3, you gotta alter some of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Nobody's doubting that Spags won't get him right later.
5-0.
But you're not 5-0.
Right.
You don't have many more of these games to just kind of we'll get them next time.
Who's expediting their own demise?
Yep.
If you're this worried, it's everyone. Everyone not named Patrick Mahomes. Because guys, it's clear that from a physical standpoint, from a ball skill standpoint, that Noel Williams should be on the field. Also, willing tackler. So hey, you checked off one of the big things you want to see from a cornerback that has to work in Steve Spagnuolo's press man coverage, sort of mat zone coverage. Hey, you gonna be in the area, make the tackle, right? He's learning. You can clearly tell from Trent McDuffie and
McDuffie's a great tackler.
Yeah, he's got really good teachers in McDuffie and Jalen Watson. And by the way, Jalen Watson, I thought did fine outside of some penalties. And I mean, Trevor Lawrence put a beautiful ball over.
Best throw of the season.
I don't even care about Connor or Watson. That's
a beautiful throw. So he's got good teachers. I know one of the philosophies that Steve Spagnuolo has is this is the NFL. It's a long season. So let me give, here's why you should give Steve Spagnuolo the benefit of the doubt. And I know he played Ashton Gelati less than you probably would anticipate too. He only played 25 snaps. Ashton Gelati should have played more. Now we are in early October. These college kids go from 10, 11, 12 games, if they're healthy, if they're durable, if they're obviously stars on their college roster, to now, hey, here's a 17-game schedule. We gonna play an 18th game, you know, preferably 19. And if we're hopeful and lucky and fortunate, 20. So I got to manage you through the first 2 months of the season so that your head isn't like, so you're not swimming. You're not, you know, on the near verge of like mental drain and exhaustion, because the NFL is, and I want to remind this, guys, a different galaxy than college football. Different galaxy. We just saw Travis Hunter do something absolutely amazing. It took 5 games. When he was doing that all of last year with Colorado to win the Heisman Trophy, it took him 5 games to be like, okay, this is how I have to manage playing both sides of the football. So Spagnuolo gets the benefit of the doubt because, hey, I just want you to be ready for real football in November, and then we'll bump you up more in December. And then, you know, the whole scheme so that we can have our wrinkles, we can have our blitzes, we can be as multiple and as dynamic as we want to be on defense, because you know everything, and I haven't physically worn you out when we get to January, when the season's on the line.
We won't have a chance to talk to you again until after the Lions game. This week gets here in a hurry when you have the Monday night game, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just quick initial thoughts. I know everybody's panicking because of last night, but the Chiefs, you know, aren't going to lose by 20 points all of a sudden to the Lions. So what do you make of the matchup on Sunday now?
Here's my initial thoughts, kids. The Chiefs have done such a good job containing running backs. We ain't even said Travis Etienne's name, guys.
40-something yards.
No, he didn't matter in the game.
And he was their best. He's the best running back they've seen all year, statistically, both traditional and advanced metrics. Jahmyr Gibbs is a similar threat, but with a loud crowd in your favor and Jared Goff a living, breathing statue, you might be able to be a little bit better defensively in terms of like what kind of pitches you throw at him. We were talking about this out, you know, during the break. Hey, Andy. Someone hypnotize Andy Reid and say, we got to get this game for the division. Treat this game like a division opponent. Hey, we're already 0-1 in the division. Somebody hypnotize Andy Reid and say,
Get this win, then we'll get Rice back and we'll solve our problems.
We not playing the Detroit Lions, coach. We playing the Denver Broncos, and we need this one, which means
kitchen sink, yeah.
Fourth down aggressiveness, and if you're up 2 scores, keep it on their neck, because you and I both know this. You, the listener, know this. They went up 14-0, and he started saying, ha, 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 ha. We're good. We'll get the ball out of halftime. We're good. We'll get the ball right before halftime. Zip, zip. Uh-oh.
Oops.
Like, there's a reason that Andy Reid has a reputation. So, again, someone hypnotize your future Hall of Fame coach and say, coach, we playing the Broncos. I know they're in different uniforms, but, coach, we need to score points. Points, I tell you, points.
There is no lead that is safe.
Correct. Get up 21-0 and then throw thin hand the sticks to Matt Nagy, okay? But until I see that, I need all the plays on Sunday. Because you have to treat this game like it's a divisional game with not your backs against the wall, not a must-win game like we saw against the Ravens, but show legitimate fearness to where you have to be willing to be lethal. And you know Dan Campbell.
Oh, he's going every fourth down. He's going for every fourth.
If the shoe is on the other foot. So you got to come off the bus. We got to get 30. We got to stay aggressive. If we get a lead, don't just sit on it. I know our running game is slightly improving, but like, hey, still got the best quarterback on God's green earth. So you might want to stay aggressive, and you might want to get to a place where, coach, if we don't win this game, we 0-2 in the division, and we would be 2-4, and it won't look pretty for us. Even with Rashee Rice coming back. Again, there's no, I mean, we all know he's a great player. I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, Rashee Rice has not played football in 7 weeks. This train is a moving.
Yeah.
He not going, I mean, it'd be amazing if he came out, and was just like, even the version of like what Xavier Worthy gave you in the Ravens game. Like, I don't think you should expect 100 yards, 8 touches, a couple touchdowns immediately. Now the Raiders are that bad. Okay, maybe I should change my tune. The Raiders are that bad.
Yeah. But of the 5 games they have after Detroit, that's the only layup.
Yes.
Washington's tough, at Buffalo, at Denver, and Indianapolis yep. looks way different than killer, what we thought going into
it. Hey, coach, it's called Killer Instinct, and we play in the Denver Broncos. Not the. I know it says Detroit on that screen.
He doesn't respect some teams. He can say as much as they're a good football team.
The
and they're
entire
well
coached. Coaching staff
like they didn't respect. Some
didn't
teams.
Respect nearly Trevor Lawrence. The manner in which they respect Lamar Jackson nah. and Derrick Henry. That is an actual fact. And you know what? They were still up 14-0. So in some ways, they were both right and wrong.
Text line says, Nate, please burn some sage in the locker room next time you're there, please. Are we at that point already? I mean, they were acting like this is not a 1-5 team.
Let's, it's not, you know, November. Not, it's
I,
not November.
I understand that they have 2 wins, but they're not 1-5 with zero hope and promising signs about this football team. Come on now.
Yeah, just have a killer instinct. Come on.
Look at the AFC playoff field right now and tell me that I need to be like fear for my life.
No,
you know, right now they'd have to go travel to like Indy. For
do we
playoff.
Trust?
Be fine.
Okay, let's be honest. Do we trust Jacksonville just yet?
No.
Do we trust Daniel Dimes?
Not yet. No, I'm closer on them because they're playing good on both sides of the ball.
Okay, sure.
I said
just
closer. Sure.
Just to say it out loud. Test is sure. Daniel Jones going to an AFC title game?
No.
I mean, if it's the Gabbert year, maybe, but that's really it.
Well, somebody did put up the photo of what the 2017 playoff picture, where it's like. Blake Bortles.
Or Bortles, I guess.
Nick Foles.
You tell me it's going to be Bo Nix, Herbert, Lawrence, Allen, and Jones. That's the playoff field. Oh, and Rodgers. That's the playoff field.
42-year-old okay. Aaron Rodgers.
Have fun.
Stay healthy, Aaron.
Sure. Yeah.
Joe Flacco
at him, too. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's right.
Drew did tell us, Nate, the Bengals are going for it now.
Hey, man.
They ain't giving up, baby.
I love the move, baby. I love the move. Hey, Joe, just sling that thing. We don't even care.
We'll be back at it tomorrow. Thanks to Nate Taylor. Ross Tucker going to join us tomorrow. Josh Klingler as well. We're also going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.